thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here, my boy Will T. Yeah, it's you know, before doing this show, it was a positive day. Then I heard the news that Cortez Kennedy passed away, Hall of Famer for the Seattle Seahawks, one of the better players in the NFL, defensive player. I remember watching him as a youngster playing Madden and whatnot, and he was chaotic. I mean, well, playing Madden, I used to, you know, play against Seattle, and it was like he was kind of chaotic. And obviously watching him play in the NFL, he's one of the premier defensive players in the NFL. So RIP Cortez Kennedy. But yeah, the world of sports, everything, you know, everything's popping. You got LeBron James getting criticized or crucified for having one bad game in the game three, people going insane, like LeBron James can't have a bad game. They forget, like, people like Michael Jordan, you know, and they compare Michael Jordan to LeBron James, and LeBron James is a different player. LeBron James, if he shoots 13, he shoots the ball 13 times, he has a bad game. That's what it is. He's a guy who likes to get other individuals involved. But a guy like Michael Jordan, if he had a bad game, he's going to definitely shoot about, you know, 15, some odd more shots, like 30, 50 shots or whatever. And it's going to look a certain way, but still be a bad shooting percentage. LeBron James, he's playing bad. It's not like he's going to overshoot the ball. But Will T was good, bro.
Nothing much. How you doing, sir?
Man, I can't complain, man. You know.
You start promptly on time.
Yeah,
huh?
Man, it's 8 o'clock. I have everything is...
No CP time, huh?
No, can't be.
Okay, man, I get it. I can dig it.
Because everything is put like this. With other equipment, things are put out there, so on the social media feed.
I get it. The show stops for no one. Doesn't pause. It keeps on ticking.
Got to keep on ticking. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, we have to be out. Well, close enough to be out of here.
We got to be out of the studio.
The basement studio, Ireland, son. What was good with you, bro?
Nothing much, man. How you feeling, my brother?
I'm good. I can't complain.
I'm a little bit under the weather.
I had bronchitis not too long ago.
Oh,
so,
yeah, you did.
So trying to get, still, you know, still having the...
Why are we having a show then if you're still sick?
Man? I'm not sick. I just have, you know.
Still recovering?
Recovering. Oh, okay. That's all. You know, all right. I still play basketball when I still...
That's the problem right there. Need to rest, man.
Man, it's hard to rest, man. You got to grind 24/7, grindhouse.
I get it.
Like Ray Lewis said, you got to be pissed off for greatness, man.
I can dig it.
Yeah, man. But Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
We'll discuss if the Washington Redskins should go after DMV's own Navarro Bowman at 8:20. We'll talk about what it will take to sign John Wall to a long-term extension. At 8:30, the Washington Nationals pitcher Joe Ross is back in action right now. The Nationals are up 2-0 against the Seattle Mariners. We'll talk about Joe Ross at 8:40 of the NBA playoffs. The Golden State Warriors are now moving on to the NBA Finals. And tonight, the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing Game 4 in Cleveland. Cavs are up 2-1. And finally, we'll discuss Terrence Crawford's place among boxing elite. But first, we're going to talk about the Washington Redskins. There were rumors that San Francisco 49ers inside linebacker Navarro Bowman is on the trading block. Should the Washington Redskins put a bid on Navarro Bowman?
First, I'll say if he truly is on the trading block, then San Francisco, I don't know what's going on there in San Francisco. They may want to keep him along with Reuben Foster. You can get and maybe you can get that defense back to the level that you were at when you had Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. That's first. Second, but if they have an opportunity to get him, absolutely. He's definitely an upgrade over what you currently have. You know, if you compare him with Zach Brown.
Yeah, I agree. That's
you know,
saying.
Get rid of either Compton or Foster.
Or have them back up, whatever.
I have both of them as backups. Man, that dramatically improves the middle of your defense. You know, I know you still need a big nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to keep the offensive lineman off him. But if you had the opportunity to get him, he's a great player. He still has plenty left in the tank.
You mentioned before on a prior show about Phil Taylor. If Phil Taylor is – even close to what he used to be, that plays a part of even getting a Navarro Bowman, you know, and also the, you know, you have Zach Brown. That would help a lot.
I totally agree with you. You know, if Phil as he wants to be known as, is still, you know, if he's back on the mend and he's healthy again and he's playing at the levels that he played at his first 2 years in the league.
Mm-hmm.
if you were able to get Navarro Bowman with Zach Brown, that instantly improves the middle of your defense. Then you have two new safeties with DJ Swearinger and Sua Cravens. We don't know how those two are going to play together yet. But just on paper, you look like you. It seems you would have an improved defense.
Yeah, you're 10 times better compared to what we've seen
on paper.
On paper, compared to when, you know, people talking about how the Redskins defense was horrible last year, historically, you know, bad last year, it would have to be a little bit better. I agree with you, Will T. I think that if you get Bowman and Zach Brown, you pair them together. These are two inside linebackers with sideline to sideline speed. And what the inside linebackers, other than Zach Brown, because Zach Brown has sideline to sideline speed. When you look at Mason Foster and Will Compton, they're not sideline to sideline speed inside linebackers. They don't have that capability. They're more downhill linebackers. And in today's NFL, to have a powerhouse defense, your inside linebackers have to be able to chase the ball carrier from sideline to sideline. We see that in Carolina with Luke Kuechly and Davis. You know what I mean? So, in my opinion, the Redskins defense wants to get themselves at a supreme level in terms of playing defense at the highest level. Excuse me. I think going after somebody like a Navarro Bowman would make sense if he's truly available. The Niners kind of put the kibosh on the rumors and said he's not on the trading block. But we've heard that before. You know, the rumor came out from somewhere.
Yeah, and plus you have to take into consideration, would Kyle Shanahan be willing to deal with this organization?
That's true. That too.
If there's a trade to be made, would he be willing to deal with this organization? And we don't know that.
And the reason why I think there's some truth to it, I mean, Navarro Bowman has, you know, had some injuries, some, you know, crucial injuries. Obviously, he missed out on that season. What was it, the year they went to the Super Bowl? Did he get hurt in the Super Bowl, or he got hurt during that season? Or was it after that season?
It was after that season.
Mm-hmm. So when you look at, you're right. So after that season, so to me, you know, the injuries play a part. You look at this, and then they happen. I believe he had an Achilles injury or whatnot. That tends to play a part in terms of seeing if he's still playing at the same level. But at the same time, when you look at his stats, I look at his stats compared to like a Will Compton. I mean, even in 2016, but in 2015, in a season, he was bouncing a bounce back year for him. Hit 154 tackles, so he still plays it. He's still good enough. And I hate the argument that, you know, oh, he's been hurt, he's injury prone. Well, him not at 100%, whatever you want to deem 100%, is still better than the guys that you have other than Zach Brown.
Totally agree with you.
You know, so on Twitter, you know, on our Facebook page, you know, post the question, should the Redskins go after Bowman? Most people said yes. Bobby Hangy said, you know, I think he said he think they should go after him. Russell Bowman, who is related to Navarro Bowman, said, hell yeah, of course. My man Dwayne Edwards doesn't believe that we should go after Navarro Bowman, thinks that inside linebacker isn't a need. Which I think is, and also
your front added, seven, your whole front seven is a need.
Exactly, and added that they can move. Maybe they can move Ryan Anderson to inside linebacker, which to me he's totally an outside linebacker. That's a rookie from Alabama, folks.
Yeah,
I didn't agree with
no
that.
No way that's working.
I don't think that's working. He's there to compete with Preston Smith. He's not there to play inside linebacker. They can try, but I doubt it. Oh man, Chris Drummond said, I've always loved this guy. However, that being said, he is coming off a serious Achilles injury. He's also turned 29. That's not really too old, but on the downtrod of his career.
Listen, if you can get two, maybe three good years out of him, then you take that and you roll with it.
That's what I'm saying.
Especially considering what you have now. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think this franchise is in a better position, in the future to potentially add a impact player at the inside linebacker position via the draft or via free agency. But if the opportunity arises and you don't have to give up major draft collateral, you know, meaning a first or second round pick, you know, or maybe even a third round pick, if you can get them from a middle round pick, got to go for it.
Right now, you're listening to Urban Sports, seeing myself, Wally, my boy Will T. Again, tweet us or Hit us on Facebook. The question is, should the Redskins go after Navarro Bowman? If he's truly on the trading block, call us at 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. You can tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and just look for us at the Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. But yeah, and also, what would you say if you're going to trade for Navarro Bowman? What would you offer?
Well, I hate to say the word because it's not in the dictionary.
Isn't in the
dictionary.
I try to
avoid using that word because it's not in the dictionary. I'd rather pause. Mm-hmm. I would give up a fifth that can conditionally be turned into a fourth round pick, mm-hmm, pending certain playing. He hit certain playing metrics,
mm-hmm,
or certain performance metrics.
I agree with that. I think, obviously, he played at such a high level in the past. He's 29, again, coming off a major Achilles injury. You look at today's market, when we see quarterbacks getting traded for like third round picks, and they're supposed to be the more valued position. You would say somebody like Navarro Bowman. Yeah, fifth round pick, something like that is fair.
A fifth and a fourth.
Would you say within the same year?
No. Saying again, a fifth and a fourth, 2018,
mm-hmm,
fifth that can turn into a fourth, and a 2019 fourth round pick.
I like that. I think that would be. If the Redskins want to make a move, I think. In my opinion, I think.
Say, I believe.
I believe. I can fly.
Yeah.
Like R. Kelly.
R. Kelly told us. He taught us.
He taught us. Yes, we can fly.
Yep. I can do other things.
Another thing. But yeah, if they can go, the fifth and fourth. I just think that it's a play, and this is another thing too. You hear that his cap number, it would be an issue. The Redskins got a whole bunch of money; they haven't spent it on anybody.
Yeah, they still have cap space, but you still have to. I hate to say his name, but you still have to sign him long term, Kirk Cousins.
I know. Yeah, that's the only thing. I've been trying to avoid Kirk Cousins news, to cover it.
Yeah.
Because you hear it all.
Yeah, you hear it all the time. So you still have to pay him, and then you also have to pay if Terrell Pryor, if he.
That's true. If he has
a good year, you wanna lock him down long term.
Even Zach Brown. Even Zach Brown. No, you're definitely right. There are definitely some obstacles, there's some issues of trying to sign a Bowman because he's still on a big deal, right? With the Niners, you trade for him. He's still on that big deal.
I don't know his cap number off the top of my head. I didn't research that prior to the show. So I wouldn't even be able to tell you.
My man Brandon on our Twitter page said that he believes that inside linebacker isn't the biggest need in the world. Maybe an outside linebacker is the biggest of the two.
You need players for this defense. Mm-hmm. Preferably, you would like to have guys that on the D line and the outside linebacker position, mm-hmm, that can apply pressure to the quarterback. But you just need players. You need players in that front seven. We don't know we know who Jonathan Allen is, but we don't know what his true potential is at the NFL level. And then you have Ryan Kerrigan. So that's two potentially dynamic players in your front seven.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Gillette, Junior Gillette, you don't know how he's going to respond to the two Achilles tears.
You got Zach Brown.
You have Zach Brown, but you still need more playmakers in the front seven.
Oh, no, I agree. I think you need a bunch of ballers. You got Ryan Anderson from Alabama. Still, he's a rookie. It's hard to put all your hopes on a rookie in a second round pick. Then you have look at Jonathan Allen in the first round picks. All accounts that you hope that he's going to be the real deal. A lot of people are high on him. I was high on him in Alabama. But you still need, to me, to have a great defense in the NFL, you got to be anchor, especially running 3-4 in the middle, like you said, Will T. You got to get pushed from the inside, and you got to have inside linebacker safety play to get you to play at the highest level. If you don't have that on your defense, you won't be a dominant defense. And that's the thing. This Redskins team, if they can do that, they can have a dominant defense. You know what I mean? That's the big thing. Have me stout in the middle, because you can push the inside. It makes it easier for you, even your outside pass rushers.
I agree with you. When you're able to collapse the pocket, mm-hmm. it makes it easier for your outside linebackers to step in and get sacks, make plays.
Exactly, man. But Will T, it's about time to go to break. When we come back from break, we're gonna talk about John Wall. What can the Washington Wizards do to keep John Wall in DC long term? You listen to Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I transform like this, perform like this. What shouts you a new weapon? I don't contemplate, I meditate. Then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again like Wimbledon. I serve. Yeah, that's him again. The sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and carving tire skirt the boulevard. I know how you work. I know just who you are. See, use a. Show almost probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch. Heritage inside your DNA. Background don't exist. Burn on side a jellyfish. I gauge. See my pedigree. Most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I've been through probably offend you. This is Barla's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA. Born inside the beast. My expertise checked out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale hotel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've done so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial, extrovert. And excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the f*** you heard? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff from the bleeding's case. The reason my power's in the earth. Salute the truth and the prophecy. I got loyalty.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
I live a better life. This is my heritage. All I'm inheriting. Money and power. The Mecca Emeritus. Tell me something. You motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation. Your DNA an abomination. This how it is when you in the matrix. Out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing. Stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar. Sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building. Diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors. Beaches out the window, peeking out the window. Baby in the pool, Godfather goes. Only Lord knows I've been going hammer. Dodger paparazzi, freaking through the cameras. Eat it for a daughter's Brock wearing sandals. Yoga on a Monday, stretching to Nevada. Watching all the snakes, curving all the fakes. Phone never own, I don't camera stand, I don't compromise, I just penetrate. Sex, money, murder, these are the breaks, these are the times.
Yeah, that's Kendrick Lamar, man, that's DNA, man. Listen to Urban Sports Saying, myself, Wally, my boy Will T. Mentioned before the break, John Wall. Actually, John Wall wants to know the Wizards' plans before signing a long-term extension.
Join the club.
I know, right? Ernie Grunfeld, guy, show me. Show me what it take, bruh. Show me, son.
He should sit down with Ted Leonsis and say the master plan should be to get rid of Ernie.
No.
That's what he should do.
He said the master plan should be get rid of Marshawn Cartaut.
Well, I mean, if depending on, I don't know, what Gortat is, 32?
Something like
that. Yeah, he's 32. Yeah, he's 32. So what can conceivably in a league that doesn't value a center, what can you get from him?
But you know what the thing about Gortat, what makes him valuable, I think they believe next year's his last year on his deal, so he's going to have an expiring contract, which is always, you know.
Well, no, next year isn't the last year.
It's not the last year on his deal?
No.
I thought it was. I thought they had one more year remaining on his deal.
I could be wrong. But I thought that he had, after this year, he still had two more years. Because I know that Mahimi is signed for a year.
Oh, somebody agrees with you. My man George just tweeted us that, like Will T said, get rid of
her. George, I know you're a smart guy, George. I know. I don't even know you, but that's why I know I like you, man. Because you're a smart guy.
You and George do not like George and yourself. You two do not like Ernie.
I don't have anything personally against Ernie Grunfeld.
Not personal. I know what you mean.
But his decision making leaves one to scratch their head. If you're thinking about some of the decisions that he made, they look like they're in the best interest of him keeping his job, opposed to doing what's best for the franchise and moving the franchise forward. Case in point. Uh-huh. We got a very deep draft coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
You're the Wizards. You don't have a first-round pick. And you gave up that first-round pick for a guy who's a restricted free agent who you don't know if you're going to be able to sign.
True, true.
When there's a guy like, I don't know, Lou Williams who was out there who you possibly could have given up your first-round pick and maybe a throw-in player for him.
And
who still would be under contract for next year.
And you're right, Will T. Cortez, he'll be a free agent in 2019. So
yeah,
right.
Because
and he's 33.
He's 33. Because I know Jan Mahimi, his deal was a 4-year deal for 64. I don't like to put out people's contract, but it was a 4-year deal.
So
yeah,
on.
And then I know that his deal is a year longer, is 1 year than what Gortat had at the end has at the end of his deal.
Yeah, but anyway, so do you feel that it's all about? It's all about Ernie. You think Ernie?
No, I don't think it's all about Ernie. I think so. You had, even though the season ended in a disappointment for the fan base, we thought that the Wizards would be able to get over the hump of the Game 7 versus the Boston Celtics. What you did is you've elevated the profile of this franchise. This becomes a destination franchise now. You know, you have. Don't tell me he had another home run.
Yeah, we watching that. Damn, Jesus. Nationals are killing the Seattle Mariners. 10-0. This is that. See, the Nationals, we're going to talk about them later, but
yeah,
their offense.
Anthony Rendon up 10-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Uh-huh. Second home run of the evening.
For him?
For Rendon, yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this becomes a destination for free agents, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, with the way John Wall, you've seen that. I think, in my opinion, it's clear that John Wall is maybe 2A or 2B when it comes to the best players
in the
Eastern Conference.
Who's tied with him?
LeBron James, and LeBron. I would say Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oh, yeah, okay. The Greek freak.
Yeah, Antetokounmpo, I think he hasn't gotten to that point yet, but what he's shown so far, uh-huh. You definitely know that his game can only ascend.
He's on his way
to becoming one of those stars.
Uh-huh.
So it flips between those two on you know, depending on what time of the year you're watching the game or who your preference is. So you don't have a first round pick,
uh-huh.
But this becomes a destination for free agents now. They say, okay, we see the way that Wall played this year, 23-10. Bradley Beal, his game is developed. Kelly Oubre is an elite. I'm not gonna say elite. Is a very good defender, a wing defender.
Yeah.
Markieff Morris provides toughness and is a stretch four.
Uh-huh.
You have Gortat. You have Jan Mahimi. Otto Porter, we don't know what's going to happen with Otto.
Yeah.
What's Somebody can max him, give him a max deal, and if someone does give him a max deal, I say you have to let him go.
They do, and the Wizards can match it.
You can, but I stay. My belief is you have to let him go. If someone gives Otto Porter a max deal, let's say the New Jersey Nets.
Yeah.
Excuse me, the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets give Otto Porter a max deal.
Match it.
You crazy.
I'm going to tell you, somebody gave me a great idea. That's an awesome idea.
What would that be?
All right. It was on my Facebook page. I posed a question to. And you posed a question. What should the Wizards do to sign John Wall? My man Kamal said, I'm going to sign John Wall to an extension. My man Kamal said, he said this. He was like, ship Bill to New Orleans for DeMarcus Cousins. Now you got a big with John Wall. And then you have, and you can still have a shoot. You have shooting Otto Porter for cheap. So now you're cheaper, and then you have you and you cure your big situation.
That still wouldn't work. With Bradley Beal, I don't see. This is the thing. Bradley Beal is still very young.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like Bradley Beal could still potentially develop into a guy who can lead a franchise into the playoffs.
Yeah.
I know what I'm getting with DeMarcus Cousins. At this point in his career, I'm getting a bad attitude.
I agree.
Someone who hasn't in the past been coachable.
Uh-huh.
who's still the one of the elite, or is the elite offensive center in the league.
Yeah, the probably best.
But hasn't proven that he can take a team anywhere.
Well, he's probably the second best offensive center, because Anthony Davis really plays the center position. It depends. Once he leaves, Anthony Davis.
Let's say this: the best in the paint.
Yeah, he's the best in the paint.
So I know, you know, as tempting and as seductive as picking up Boogie Cousins would be, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't. Bradley Beal, no, not for Bradley. No, even though I do think Bradley is getting paid an awfully lot, and I think he's starting to prove his game has shown that it's taken to the level that he can be that guy that leads your franchise, but he still hasn't developed off of the dribble.
Look, man,
I wouldn't trade him for Boogie Cousins at this point.
Look, so on our Twitter page, it's about on Twitter, the question about what would take to keep John Wall here in D.C. for an extension. My man Joe was like, you know, get Ernie out and Boogie. See about Boogie. Folks want Boogie.
Ernie, first part was brilliant. First part was brilliant. Get rid of Ernie. I think we all can agree, get rid of Ernie. Getting rid of Ernie Grunfeld is the best thing for this franchise at this point, if you want to take it over the hump.
Yeah.
I just don't agree with getting DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins, for me, hasn't shown that he can lead a franchise to even the eighth seed in the playoffs.
So, all right, so George says the time to deal for Boogie was midseason. We missed that boat.
Once again, George, we vibing.
Oh man, look, I'm not even a fan of getting Boogie. I think I'm with you. I think Boogie messes up. He can mess up chemistry. But John Wall is a fan of Boogie. They are friends, and we're talking about it.
And they can both make the USA Olympic Select team and play together if they want to play together. Yeah. They just don't need to play together in Washington D.C.
But the thing is that what's going to keep John Wall here is that could that keep John Wall here having Boogie?
No, I think if you consistently keep winning and you're able to market John Wall to amplify his profile, that keeps him here. That keeps him happy. And the prior offseason, he said that he wants his profile to be a little bit bigger in the league.
He's got that.
And my retort to that was when. You've done that. Yeah. And now your profile has been up to a stat, 23-10.
Right now you're listening to Urban Sports City, myself, Wild, and my boy, Will T. Yeah, I agree. I think John Wall has definitely achieved that. I do think John Wall wants to keep Otto Porter. I think he is a fan of Otto Porter. By the way, the way he talks about it during the you know, as the season ended, you know, exit interviews or whatnot, you could tell that he's a fan of keeping Otto Porter here in D.C.
Look, Otto Porter, what he did during the first, I say during the first two thirds of the season was great. You know, he was leading the NBA in three-point percentage. He was averaging 14 points, giving you about 6 rebounds, 3 assists. That's great.
Yeah.
But that's not max player. That's not max money.
We talked about this already.
That's not max money.
We talked about this before, though. We talked about how that's not max money. But hold on, we got to call it with the Urban Sports Day. Hello, you listen to the Urban Sports Day. Who's speaking?
Get it. This is Patrick. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Pat? So this is the question. That's good. This is the question. What do the Wizards need to do to keep John Wall here in D.C.?
Well, I definitely am saying I
will
be, but I mean, I just think
he's
happy if
Boogie. Hey, Pat, you're breaking up a little bit. Hello?
With Boogie.
Okay.
Hello?
I can hear you now.
Oh yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a reality that will be, but just kind of looking at the small scale, man. I just think improving that bench player. I know it's easy to say that without having the exact pieces there, but Ball was tired as I don't know what in the playoffs at the end. I was kind of worried about that because of the way the season went. Those guys were spent, man. They played a ton of minutes. They went through a lot, and I think it just kind of caught up with them in that last playoff. So. Out of the way just to kind of shore that bench up, to be able to give them a spark, to be able to keep sustain those leads during the season. I think if you can just see a better team kind of come around, I think you will be happy because the name of the game is winning, man. If you win games, guys are going to want to stay where they're at. He does a lot of stuff in the community. Uh-huh. I think he'll be a great fit to stick around in D.C. We just got to find a way to get over this hump to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and one day to be playing in the NBA Finals.
No, I agree with you, Pat. Good call. And also, I do agree to a point where I thought he was super tired, and I think in a way, and I think John Wall too acknowledges himself that getting a bench would definitely help him out.
Yeah, that's why you got to get rid of Ernie.
Hey Pat.
Yeah.
Hey Pat. Well, thanks for the call. We're gonna talk. Right, we're gonna wrap on Twitter. Appreciate you, my man.
Thanks,
all right,
Pat.
Thanks a lot, guys. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, but I agree with Pat, though. I do think that's a big point, too, getting a bench.
Listen, I think we all can agree as Wizards fans, the number one move to make to keep John Wall here is to get rid of Ernie Grunfeld, because Ernie Grunfeld is the architect of the team. Ernie Grunfeld has failed to surround John Wall with talent unless he's been giving a very high draft pick.
No, I agree, because, you know, I told you, we joke around about, you know, this draft, about like a Bam Bam or whatever, but at the same time, to be honest with you, you losing a first-round pick in this draft for a guy that's going to be on a one-year deal is ridiculous, and I don't care what it is, especially for a guy that was one-dimensional.
Totally agree.
You know, so in my opinion, Ernie Grunfeld, though, again, people at the moment like, oh, they got to score, but you got to look at what you're going to lose. Like, this was a deep draft. You could get a very high quality player at a playoff slot for next season. You know what I mean? And then we're talking about having a big, and you could have got to play a big for cheap that could impact your team for next year.
Yeah, totally agree.
All right, well, it's about time to go to commercial break. We get back from break. We're going to talk about Joe Ross. Right now, the Nationals are up 10-0 on the Seattle Mariners. Joe Ross is back with the Nats. Could he put them over the hump? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
It's for you and me. Living out our dreams, we're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I wanna see is a sky full of lighters, a sky.
I would have already spiraled up. I would never do nothing to let you cowards fuck my world up. If I was you, I would duck or get struck like lightning fighters. Keep fighting, put your lighters up, point them skyward. Had a dream, I was king. I woke up, still king. Smap canes, nipples mine, put the milk king. Tell nobody else even f***ing feels me till it kills me. I swear to God, I'll be the f***ing illest in this music. There is or there ever will be. Disagree, feel free. But from now on, refusing to ever give up. Only thing I ever gave up's using. No more excuses. Excuse me if my head is too big for this building, and pardon me if I'm a cocky, but you are slick, popping shit on how you flipped your life around. Rockers, who you trying to kid? Flip, you the opposite, you stay the same. Back with the steel, you. I love it when I tell him shove it, cause it wasn't that long ago when Marshall said, busted black, busted cause he couldn't cut, busted muster up, nothing brain fuzzy, cause he's buzzing, woke up from that buzzing, now you wonder why he does it, how he does it, wasn't cause he had buzzing circle around his head, waiting for him to drop dead.
You listen to the Urban Sports, excuse me, the Urban Sports, and I can't speak. Wally here, my boy Will T. Ray.
Shout out to Super Daryl also.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to Super Daryl, man.
So, Super Daryl, friend of the show.
Yeah, you know. Family of the show.
Family, family of the show.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely shout out to Super Daryl. Also, man, shout out to Ray Jeezy. Couldn't make the show. You don't got anything funny to say usually when I say that?
I was just going to say, you know, he's missed the 85%. He wants to get his kid back to 100%. I don't know how that's going to happen. That's all.
What's up, Ray? Real people do real things, right?
Yeah.
All right, Joe Ross right now is pitching right now. He's pitching a shutout. Washington Nationals are up 10-0 on the Seattle Mariners. If he pitches like he did last year and stays healthy, does Joe Ross put this team over the hump?
No.
And why not?
You need a closer. You need the bullpen. You need to solidify the bullpen. He's great for helping to add to the arms that you already have in your starting rotation, but you still need a long reliever. You need an eighth. You need a guy. You need a closer. You definitely need a eighth inning guy. Mm-hmm. You need a seventh inning guy. You know, you seem like you have the pieces, but they just aren't consistent yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there I go saying that word again. But I still believe, you know, he can help enhance what you have in your starting rotation.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Is he the answer? No.
I kind of think I'm gonna go on a different route with this. I kind of think he is the answer, and what I mean by that is that, you know, in the postseason, you know, the Nationals bullpen is terrible. We both can say that right now. It's not yes. good at all. And but the division itself, and the NL East isn't even a bad division at the moment. You have the Mets struggling, Atlanta Braves, I believe, the second place team.
Yeah, they've crept up, and now they're only six back.
Yeah, but the Nats have a good lead, and they're pretty much better in terms of talent right now than the Atlanta Braves. And I would say the Mets are injured right now. I think the Mets have, in terms of talent, it's near the Nats, but the injuries have played a part to a point where now, to me, they're slumping. They're going downward. So I think if the Nats get to the postseason, they can use some of those power, some of those pitchers that we've come accustomed to seeing and pitching at a high level. Not Strasburg, not Gio, not Scherzer, but you can see Roark. If you go three, well, yeah, you're right. Maybe Roark. It depends how they want to do it. But you could have Joe Ross can be in your bullpen. Because he's not going. You don't pitch five in the postseason in the series. He can now help your bullpen.
You can have Roark
if you want to pitch in a bullpen.
But in order to get to the postseason, you still need to shore up the bullpen now.
But I think they're good enough to get to the postseason with what they have now. If they wanted to go that route.
I mean, it's a long summer. Yeah. Injuries, mm-hmm. Fatigue.
Yeah.
Hot. You know, cold streaks with the bat. So there's a lot that can still happen. You know, everyone wants to just assume that the Nats have this division locked up.
Yeah.
You know, even though we haven't even gotten to June yet. No, I'm still skeptical. You still need to strengthen that bullpen.
That DC fan thing going on right now.
I don't have a DC fan thing. It's just me being a realist. I'm a guy who watches these games. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to say I sat and I watched every game, mm-hmm. but I've watched
enough.
I've watched 90% of the games this year, mm-hmm. a substantial amount, to know that they've blown what, four leads going to the bullpen this year. So you still need to strengthen the bullpen.
My man George just tweeted us again, man. God bless you, George. He says, Tanner Roark is struggling right now. Ross might be the third guy by the playoffs. Gio isn't exactly a sure thing in the playoffs either.
That's very valid. That's a very valid point. Very valid point. You know, it's a long season. It's a grind.
Uh-huh.
You just threw a quarter of the season. You know, you still have another quarter of the season to go. Three-fourths of the season to go.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if Joe Ross is pitching at the levels that he's pitched at the season before,
uh-huh.
you definitely got another, you know, you definitely strengthen the back end of your rotation.
Yeah, which is very important. And maybe if these guys can log innings and go seven instead of going six, go seven instead of going six. And then you just got all you got to worry about is the setup man in the closing.
Yeah, I still want these guys to go maybe six. I don't need seven every time out. Six strong innings.
Six is great. Six is great. Yeah. Seven is ideal, to be honest with you. But it's not going to happen often. And when I say go seven, I mean that doing it. Responsibly, like say you're pitching after the sixth inning, you've thrown 80 pitches. I think then, you know, ideally that's what you really want. That doesn't happen nowadays.
No, it doesn't happen.
People throw multiple, like 20 pitches per inning nowadays. So, but if you can get that situation, it would be great for the Nationals. But I agree with you. But to be honest with you, I mean, I was just playing devil's advocate. I totally agree with you. They need to shore up the bullpen. They need to get a closer. Like, I feel like that's the most important thing. Like, a closer is essential. I know, Blake trying to be better as a seventh, eighth kind of guy. But you need a closer. They need a guy that shuts things down.
Yeah, you have 12 different guys for this team to have a save, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I know Glover's now probably.
Yeah, Glover
is now the closer at the moment, and he's still.
Well, I'm not going. No, it's not 12 different guys, but I think you have at least seven guys that have a save
mm-hmm.
for this team so far.
Yeah, I just
which is too, you know,
it's too many.
It's too many.
You need to have your guy. You need to have a guy. The guy you can.
We don't know. Maybe Kota Glover is the guy, but Kota Glover is very young. You don't know how he's going to respond in certain situations.
Just like what's the name I got? Drew Storm. I like Drew Storm, but you know, I think nowadays they would probably want a Drew Storm.
Yeah, you want a Drew Storm, you would love to have a Tyler Clippert.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But it's about time to go to another commercial break. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about KD and the Warriors. Are the Warriors going to the, I mean, we're going to talk about today. All the Warriors going to the finals. The Warriors are going to the NBA Finals. LeBron James right now at 8:30. Oh, actually, we're here at 8:40. The game's already on. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing the Boston Celtics in Game 4. We'll also discuss within the Golden State Warriors, is Kevin Durant and Steph Curry the best tandem in basketball? We'll discuss that at a break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig.
Deuces.
Listen to Urban Sports saying I'm Wally up here, my boy Will T. Ray Jeezy's out, but he should be back hopefully next week.
Doubt it.
Will T said doubt it.
Oh, why? I'm not sure if I'll be back.
Sure.
Next week.
Look, you can't say doubt it. You know.
I'm not 100% sure.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
I'm better than 50-50, which Ray is.
I'm not sure. Maybe I should not. Maybe I shouldn't even talk. I don't even know. It depends. What is next Tuesday? What's that date?
29th.
Yeah, because 27th is Saturday. 28th, you're right, 29th.
No.
27th, Saturday. That's my
No, problem. It's the 30th. Excuse me.
It's the 30th?
Yeah, it's the 30th.
Oh. That's right, because we got the holiday weekend.
Yeah, holiday weekend. Monday is
Memorial Day weekend. Yeah, yep. It's a lot going on.
3-day weekend.
3-day weekend, man. All right, man. Well, right now, game 4 between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics is on. You got the score again?
When I looked at the score, it was 5-4 Cleveland.
5-4 Cleveland. Wilt, you looked at the score. I'm going to go back to game 3 because, you know, that's the game everybody is talking about, right?
7-5 Boston.
7-5 Boston. Did game 3 change your mind about the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, first I'll start off by saying out of the panel, yeah, I was the only guy who said that Boston would get a game.
Yes, you did. And you were correct.
Yes, and I was correct. Thank you for admitting it.
Yeah, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers made me wrong, put it that way. But I did respect the gut and grit of the Boston Celtics in game 4.
Absolutely. That showed a lot. Yeah. That showed a lot. I think, in my opinion, that Boston was less reliant on they didn't stand around a lot there. Because and maybe it's I'm not going to say you know they're better off in the series without Isaiah Thomas, but they were less reliant on one player to create offense for them. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise not having Isaiah Thomas for that one game, for game 3. But ultimately, I think over the course of a 7-game series, the best team will win, which is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Uh-huh. I I think Boston ties up the series tonight.
Wow, it's a bold statement.
I think they tie up the series tonight.
That is a bold. I think Cleveland wins this game 3. It's gonna go 3-1. I think this is LeBron's woken up. He's gonna be more aggressive in this game. But I will say this though, and to your point about the Boston Celtics, real quick, do you think this? You know, there's rumors out there that, you know, Isaiah should be trade bait because, you know, reports are going to get Markelle Fultz. Do you think that game 3 showed that, hey, we could trade Isaiah Thomas?
No, I think that's a one isolated. That you would be making a decision in a vacuum.
Uh-huh.
Very isolated. One game, no. Isaiah Thomas is he's the heart. He's the engine. He makes this thing go.
Uh-huh.
With Marcus Smart, there's far more ball movement, uh-huh, in which allows a coach like Brad Stevens, who's a great
coach,
strategist, uh-huh, you know, great designing plays and calling plays at the optimum time and putting his players in the best position. It allows the offense to be a little bit more free flowing,
uh-huh,
it's less relying on one player.
Uh-huh.
There's far more ball movement.
No ice, not that much ISO,
not a lot of isolation. So that's all that. You know, and I don't necessarily think that this team can win with as presently constructed can win an NBA championship. I think you're far better off with, you have a better chance with Isaiah Thomas than you do without him, even if you do have Markelle Fultz. And Isaiah Thomas can at least next season give you 28 points and show Markelle Fultz the ins and outs of the NBA game.
That's true. He definitely can be a teacher. I think game 3 was a little overblown. I think all of it was overblown. I think you allowed that. You had a bad game. It happens. Boston, don't forget, Boston was a one seed. They're not a bad team. I think we all forget about that. We all look at Boston like they're a bad team. Like, yeah, in the Eastern Conference, but not a bad team. This Boston Celtics beat the Golden State Warriors in the regular season. They're not a bad team.
Absolutely not. And they're a very good defensive team.
So, in my opinion, yeah, the Cleveland to bring the Boston made up. Cleveland was up. They were up 20. Cleveland was up 20 in that game. In game 3, Boston came back and they showed the heart of a champion. And then Avery Bradley was clutch. And we saw it here in D.C. how Avery Bradley, you know, he played well in the series against the Wizards. So he showed, you know, he showed out in that. He showed out in game 3. He showed out in the Wizards series. So it wasn't surprising. The whole thing about LeBron not showing up, you know, LeBron taking 13 shots, didn't take that many shots in the fourth quarter. I think we all like to compare him. We kind of look at him like say Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan, LeBron are totally different. LeBron is a facilitator. He's not. If he's taking 13 shots, he'll guilty. He spreads the ball around. Now, granted, you want to be aggressive. Yeah, you want to be aggressive. But if he's off of 13, he's not a guy that's the volume shooter. He's never been. He's not a volume scorer. That's not his thing. Unless you force him to be a volume scorer. And so the stat line of 13 shots and he having this amount, like he didn't have 15 points and this, that, the other. That to me, that's nothing because LeBron isn't the guy that you want him to be. He's a guy more like Magic.
I totally agree with you. Look, during that game, Kevin Love played at a high level. Kyrie played well. Just because LeBron isn't taking 25 shots, that's not his game.
Yeah.
He looks to get his teammates involved. It wasn't that he was reluctant to be involved offensively. It just the offense didn't come to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know sometimes some people will say you got to go and get the ball, but LeBron isn't the type of player that plays outside of the offense very often.
Yeah, I agree.
He takes great shots within the framework of the offense, and they just and it's not like this team like the Cleveland Cavaliers lost by 20 points. They lost by on a last second shot.
Yeah, 3-point shot that bounced in.
Absolutely, yeah. And they were up by 21. It's just that Boston showed great grit, toughness, and determination to come back and win the game.
Yeah, right now Boston is up on Cleveland 18-11. Now 18-13 in the first quarter with 4 minutes 17 left. So this should be a compelling game. Last night, the Golden State Warriors completed the sweep against the San Antonio Spurs. They're 12-0 in the postseason. Has this team to you seen adequate competition? For all the talk that Draymond Green talks about the East and LeBron, has this team seen that much competition?
I would say yes. I would say yes. They're just playing at a level that's greater than the level that they were last year when they won 73 games.
Mm-hmm.
You could definitely tell, you know, outside of having Kevin Durant, you know, but they've also added some major pieces. You added David West, you added JaVale McGee, Matt Barnes. Uh-huh. So to me, this team is better than, you know, talent from a talent perspective, is better than a team that won 73 games. Yeah, plus, they're playing a lot looser.
Yeah, they're
playing a lot looser. They're playing relaxed. They're playing a lot looser, and they're playing for their coach, who can't be on the sidelines because of the back pains he's been going through.
And Mike Brown's a good coach.
How would that feel if you're Mike Brown, right?
Yeah.
If you lead this team to a championship to play Cleveland.
That'd be awesome.
And you get a sweep.
Of LeBron?
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
It would be. I think that would be the greatest feeling. That's like Mark Jackson coaching Cleveland or whoever, beating Golden State.
Yeah, no, I think I don't know if people talk about it and it'd be a storyline, but I think it would be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I always thought Mike Brown was a good coach. I think the teams that he had with LeBron, I mean, LeBron makes it easy for you to win games, but his teams weren't super talented.
And I think what he did was he acquiesced too much to LeBron and made LeBron happy by getting him the ball rather than creating an offense with a free-flowing offense.
Yeah, which he's capable of doing. Coach, he is very capable of doing. I feel like they haven't seen that much competition, like to a certain extent. Like, I don't think that.
Let's go through it. Portland's a good team. Damian Lillard.
Undersized, they have their big. They didn't have their big, which.
But this team has a plethora of wings.
Who, Portland? But you didn't see Portland in their best state.
Yeah, no, I get it. But Portland isn't.
I like Damian Lillard.
What I will say is Portland isn't a pushover.
They're not a pushover, but you know.
Versus Cleveland, who saw.
They saw Paul George. I think one of the best players.
They saw was Paul George.
Paul George, Miles Turner. I like Teague. I think they're not.
Okay. I'll give you that. They had some decent pieces.
They had some decent talent.
So if you had to judge Portland or
I like
Indiana. You like Indiana?
If Portland had their big, it would easily be Portland.
Okay, second round.
Without George Hill?
Second round, they didn't have George Hill, but that's still a talented Utah team.
I think again, I'm not over
Gordon Hayward,
and then Cleveland played who?
Rudy Gobert.
And Cleveland played who?
Cleveland played the
Toronto Raptors.
Who didn't have Kyle Lowry.
That's fair. Yeah. I would go with Utah. I like Utah. I'm not gonna lie.
I think
I like Utah. I'm gonna go with Utah.
Utah's a better team. San Antonio and Boston. San Antonio, even though they didn't have Tony Parker, they lost David Lee, and they didn't have their best player, Kawhi Leonard, who's arguably the second or third best player in the NBA. That's still a very talented team with a great coach.
Yeah, I do. I agree. But I would probably go with Boston.
Okay, I'm going with San Antonio.
All you got talent wise to me. Well, you got an aging Manu, and you got
LaMarcus Aldridge. Simmons.
Simmons is not what's name guy. Simmons is a system guy. I will not give him a talent in terms of going elsewhere and say Jonathan Simmons is going to be that dude.
Jonathan Simmons has qualities and attributes that transfer easily to any offense, in my opinion. He's a great defender.
He's a great defender.
He can knock down a spot up shot.
Yeah.
He knows how to move without the ball.
Yeah.
He can slash and get to the rim. So I understand why when you say system, you know, playing in that system, it kind of accentuates his talents.
Uh-huh.
But I still think Jonathan Simmons is a talent. Nevertheless, they can go to a handful of teams and still prosper.
Possibly. I don't know.
If he was on this Boston team, he would prosper.
Jay Crowder would go into San Antonio. He would be just as good, even better than Jonathan Simmons.
That's debatable.
Jay Crowder was good in Dallas. I think he was in Dallas.
He was decent in Dallas.
He's a good ball player. I think you put him in San Antonio.
That's debatable because I think Jay Crowder is a bigger, far more physical player than Jonathan Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
But it's debatable. Their skill set is pretty equal, if you ask me.
I think Jay Crowder is better. I think Danny Green is a good example of what San Antonio can do for you.
We had this conversation via text. Myself, you, and Ray. We had this conversation via text. Danny Green is a guy who was a McDonald's All-American.
Jay Crowder was one of the better ball players in Marquette. If you remember him in college, he was a beast at Marquette.
True. That's true.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, like, I just feel like, and Simmons is a dude who had to work to get where he's at. It wasn't like he was a well-renowned.
I get it. He had to work. He's a grinder.
Yeah.
His road to the league was a little bit tougher. But at this point, if you're asking me to look at Jay Crowder and look at Jonathan Simmons, uh-huh. I don't think there's a very large disparity in talent. And what they do, what they produce on the court at this point.
I think
Jay Crowder may get it because in today's NBA with a stretch four, Jay Crowder is physically bigger mm-hmm. and he can be a stretch four.
Yeah.
So I do think that if you ask most GMs or most coaches, who would you take? Mm-hmm. They would take Jay Crowder because his ability to play a three and a four.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're looking at the total, they're looking at the total game. Jay Crowder, Jonathan Simmons at this point is better off the dribble and getting his shot opposed to Jay Crowder.
All right, so real quick before we go to the boxing segment after the break, Steph Curry and KD's been playing at a high level this postseason, like in terms of, and they figured out how to play with each other. It seems like they understand each other. They can both go off at the same time. Pause. Are they the best tandem in basketball right now?
Right now? Yeah. I would have to. Well, I would give it to them.
Yeah, I think I would give it
opposed
to them.
Opposed to LeBron and Kyrie.
I think they're definitely the best tandem going on in basketball. I just think that they hit you with body blows. If that makes any sense in terms of threes and what Steph can do from the three point shot and what Durant can do from the 3-point shot and driving and creating and mid range. It's crazy. It really is crazy. But anyway, it's time for commercial break. We get back from break. We're gonna talk about Bud Crawford. Where does he rank right now in terms of the elite boxers in the game? You listen to Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man.
Say I'm Wally. Hear my boy Will T. Ray Jeezy's out. Will T. talking about beers and stuff and whatnot. Because they heard you say beer. I had to make sure they knew what you were talking about.
Oh, okay. I was talking about the game. Once the show is over, I'm going to rush home. I'm going to rush home, have a beer, watch the game, the rest of the game.
Hey, ain't nobody wrong.
I'm going to watch the TNT studio show.
Oh, that's the best show going.
Best show in sports.
Best show in sports. All right, on Saturday, Terrence Crawford defeated Felix Diaz via TKO in the 10th round. Has Crawford fought anybody special in your opinion?
There I go saying that word again. To this point, no. He hasn't had that one defining fight where we say he had to dig deep.
Uh-huh.
And go to a level that we haven't seen him go to, and that's mostly due to his talent,
uh-huh,
right?
That's true. Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily the level of competition. I think that's because he's a superior fighter to a lot of the fighters he's fought. He's been calling for a fight with Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao doesn't seem to want that fight with him, and I understand it just because Manny Pacquiao is longer in the tooth.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't feel at this point where he wants to per se pass the crown. And you know, you never know. I think, yeah, the money is an issue. Yeah, but if Terrence Crawford continues to build his name in boxing, there will become a time where Manny Pacquiao still continues to fight, he will have to fight Terrence Crawford.
And that's why I agree with you. I think that when if Terrence Crawford gets himself into a level where it's feasible that it's going to make, in terms of dollar amount, it's going to make sense. Same the way we talk about Floyd Mayweather. Floyd ain't going to fight you, that's going to make sense money-wise.
Let me retract that. When HBO calls for Manny Pacquiao to fight Terrence Crawford, then it will happen.
Yeah.
When HBO decides to give Terrence Crawford the push, like they've been pushing Triple G, and they've been pushing
Canelo Alvarez.
Canelo, and they've been pushing Kovalev.
Yeah.
When they start to push Terrence Crawford at that level, then you will see him step up, and he'll fight the bigger names. Yeah. But until HBO, who controls the boxing budget for their telecast, says we want a Manny Pacquiao Terrence Crawford fight, it won't happen.
You listen to the Urban Sports, and my boy Will T, myself, Wally, call in. What do you feel about Terrence Crawford? Where do you feel like he's at in terms of pound for pound best boxer? Call in numbers 240-478-3144.
Well, the show's almost over.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Don't call in.
Well, also we got to give a shout out to Gary Russell Jr.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
who fought at the MGM Grant, the MGM National Harbor. He won. His fight wasn't even close. Then we also have to shout out another, it's DMV, it's from Baltimore, Javante Tank Davis, who went to England and totally blew out Walsh.
DMV, bruh, we in there, we knock it out, son. All right, what do you have, Terrence Crawford, in terms of pound for pound? I don't have him number one,
especially when the guy,
say his name, bro.
Excuse me, Andre Ward is still out there, and the gauntlet that Andre Ward has gone to this point and fought everybody.
Yes, there you go.
Fought every top name in the divisions that he's fought at, that he's been in.
Yeah, you can't say that.
You can't say that Andre Ward isn't the number one fighter pound for pound in boxing. Andre Ward will have a chance to restake that claim June 17th when he fights Kovalev in a rematch. And to me, I don't understand why that fight isn't being heavily promoted.
That's what we're the same. Because it should be just as, you should push it just like you would push Triple G versus Canelo. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, that to me, that's the second biggest fight in boxing
It is. You got it. Part one was special.
Yeah, part one, it was a great fight. Yeah, and then, we have part two coming up in, less than 4 weeks?
Yeah, it should be pushed to, the maximum level. I'm with you, Will T. So, in terms of Bud Crawford, what great fighter do you want to see him fight next? Or see him fight, I would say next.
Well, of course you want to see him fight Manny Pacquiao. Yeah, then you want to see him to fight some of the PBC, PBC boxers. You know, maybe if he decides to go up to 147 to fight a Keith Thurman, fight a guy like Amir Khan, fight a guy like Danny Garcia, fight a Lamont Peterson. That would be a great fight.
I think so, too.
I think a Lamont Peterson fight with him in New York or in D.C., that would be a huge fight. But we'll have to wait.
I'm with you. No, I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. I think that's something that
Jarebko isn't scared
of LeBron.
He isn't scared at all.
I was watching the same thing.
When he came in, I know we were talking about boxing. Yeah, it's kind of
I'm with you.
ADHD. But Jarebko, he isn't scared.
He's not.
That's the type of guy that's giving them a type of fighting spirit and toughness that's going to help keep Boston in this series.
Yeah, it looks like they're good. This is a game they can get. I mean, it's winnable right now. They're up 12 in Cleveland. You know, they can change the face of, TNT, playing cards and stuff, while going on in game two in Boston. But, yeah, I would love to see Crawford fight, like you mentioned, Lamont Peterson, because I feel like Lamont Peterson is a gate, would be like the gatekeeper. If you can dismantle Lamont Peterson, then yeah, to me, you are the ultimate prize fighter, and you a pound for pound dude, for real, for real. Obviously, I want to see him fight Manny Pacquiao. That'd be a good test for him, even though he's declining in skill. He's still one of the more, he's still one of the better boxers in the game, even him declining. So I would like to see that, because it's a challenge. It'll be a challenge for Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It would be a big challenge for Terrence Crawford. Him versus Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao is still dynamic, very strong puncher. Mm-hmm. He isn't as strong as he used to be, but it would be one of those matches where you have to tune into it, especially if it's on, you know, even if it's on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Well, it's about time to close the show out. You know, we had a great show. I wouldn't call it an all-time classic. Well, it is an all-time classic. We always put it all classic. I'm sorry. I'm getting distracted by this Boston game. It's distracting.
Yeah, we are.
Very distracting. But hey, Will T, man, say what you want to say.
No, once again, George, Pat, thanks you guys for listening to us as the show aired. We appreciate your support. Anyone who, you know, takes the time to listen to us either through the website, through podcast or wherever Wally posts the show, we appreciate you. Thank you.
We do appreciate y'all, man. We really do. Thank you all. And now I can watch this Boston Celtics Cleveland Cavaliers game, man. You've been listening to Urban Sports Saying
for ages.
You dig?
Mega, take us out.